Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Wednesday, March 6th, 2024. I am Dave Biddle. I'll be joined by Matt Baxendale in just a moment. Oh, buddy. Tons of great stuff to get into on today's show. Tons of great stuff as Matt Baxendale joins me. I mean, it's just, we'll start with Chip Kelly and break all that down, and we'll go through some of the personnel things like Sonny Styles moving to linebacker. Not a surprise, but interesting that was made official. Bax, good to see you this morning. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing as good as you can do on a downright nasty rainy day here in Central Ohio.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's at least it's in the 50s. I'm trying to be positive here, Bax.
This is not a snowstorm. We've had that bad this time of year before.
No, well, yeah, we've had snowstorms in April. I think even as late as May. We basically skipped winter this year in Central Ohio with a few exceptions. So I'm not complaining. People can complain if they want, but I'm not complaining. I think I shoveled my driveway twice all winter, maybe three times. And that's only because I pay kids to do it. No, I'm kidding. No, literally, I think I only did it like three times all winter at the most. All right. I want to tell you guys about, before we get to all that, one of our great sponsors we've been telling you about since last July. I mean, and they continue to blow up, and there's a good reason. It's high quality food. It's made fast. That's Factor Meals. And they have a great deal for you guys. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. They do. They got tons of great food, but they also have smoothies. The smoothies are unbelievably delicious. It's fantastic. And stuff really is ready in 2 minutes. Pop it in your microwave. And this is not like, you know, 80s and 90s food you'd pop in the microwave. This is fresh, high quality, ready in 2 minutes. They're not joking when they say it's restaurant quality. It's really good. Head to factormeals.com/bucknuts50. Use code bucknuts50 to get 50% off. That's code bucknuts50 at factormeals.com/bucknuts50 to get 50% off. Bam. All right, I just struggled to figure out what we're going to talk about first. We've talked so much about Sonny. He's going to move to linebacker. We know it's going to happen. It's a matter of when. So I was going to lead off with that. But we got to talk about Chip. That was so interesting, the introductory press conference with Chip Kelly yesterday. I was like a kid in the candy store like the entire day yesterday. Kid on Christmas morning. The new roster being out. I love looking at football rosters, new football rosters, the numbers, the new height and weight. Just the new players, I just love football rosters. I'm such a nerd. What stood out to you the most about – I'm going to ask you some specific questions. What kind of, you know, just taking a big perspective, what kind of stood out to you the most about Mr. Chip Kelly and his introductory press conference?
I think the just sheer exuberance he seemed to have to be here. If you've watched the UCLA games the last couple of years, he looks like a morose, like, I want to hang myself kind of look on his face the whole time. He was not happy at UCLA. You could see that relationship was going to a very inevitable bad breakup. So for this this job to appear and for Chip Kelly to take it, it probably feels like a lifeline to him. And I have to say that you could really see there's like a whole new like rebirths of enthusiasm for Chip Kelly after watching that press conference. He is giddy to be here, Dave.
Dare I say it's a zip line for him.
He can zip line back and forth all he wants. That would be the funniest. I mean, that's a downright Mike Leach moment there, zip lining back and forth between the press box into the sideline. I'm in on that.
And he suggests, it's his suggestion. I'm just rolling with what he's suggesting. I think Ross Bjork, you know, I think Ross Bjork's the type of man that can get that done. Ross Bjork was here yesterday. I said hi to him. I really like him. He's approachable. He's cool. And I think he's perfect for the NIL world that we're living in right now. I really like Ross Bjork, but let's not get sidetracked too much. So Chip Kelly. So I asked Ryan Day, because we got him before Chip Kelly, is Chip going to coach from the box or the field? It's the first time he hasn't been a head coach in 16 years, buddy. This is going to be a lot. That's a long time ago that he's now just able to, you know, just be an offensive coordinator. And it was interesting. I wasn't surprised that Coach Day said, we're not sure yet. I was surprised he said, we haven't even talked about it yet. Does that surprise you at all? I mean, not that that would be like the main thing that they would talk about, but he's been here. Like, you would think that would have been brought up once. Like, hey, since you're going to be calling the plays, you're going to be doing it from the field or the box. They haven't even discussed that yet. That surprised me a little bit. And then Chip said his, so get into that in a minute. If you're surprised they haven't even broached it yet, obviously they will. And then just get into what Chip said. It was hilarious when I asked him about it, you know, like the pros and cons of the box and coaching from the field. Our buddy Tom Herman, your good buddy Tom Herman, I do cite him a lot because I do like this quote. When he was here as offensive coordinator, he said he was just banging the drum that offensive coordinators should be up in the box because you can see the game so much better. It's a sterile environment. You're not getting caught up in all the chaos, and you just can't see the game well enough from the field. But then some coaches swear by they want to be on the field because they want to be able to look their guys in the eyes. Chip gave a great answer with that that people haven't heard. As Bax just said, he said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do yet. He's like, but I'd like to be able to do both. Maybe call the game from up there, zip line down to the field to talk to the guys, and then zip line back. I mean, that's hilarious. I think we got to get that done for him, Bax.
Can you imagine that, like, we score a touchdown, and then it's like before the kickoff, it's like, here comes Chip. And he goes, whoa. The crowd gets all fired up. That would be like, you know, the Chip Kelly, like the Shawn Michaels entrance at WrestleMania every time we score a touchdown to the sideline. But
oh my God.
I actually agree with my good friend Tom Herman, though. I think you should be up in the box to be able to see the game. I think that's a very real thing. Because if you're the offensive coordinator, you have to be recognizing what the coverages are, how they're changing their reads pre-snap. To me, I think you do that a lot better with the overhead view on it. I think you have to trust in your position coaches to be able to help you give some of that vibe down on the sidelines. I think that's important. So I hope he's up in the box. I think that's probably the right place for him to start. I'm not shocked they haven't really talked about it yet, though. I mean, let's face it. He's been there, what, 2 weeks at this point? And 3 weeks at most. At the end of the day, for Chip Kelly, I think they're going to figure out what their game day op situation looks like. I think Ryan Day is trying to let Chip figure out what he wants to do because Chip probably doesn't know what he wants to do right now because, like you said, he's been on the sideline for 16 years as a head coach. So I won't be surprised if he's up in the box by the time the actual games start. But right now I think he's just more interested in implementing his spin on Ryan Day's offense. The word tempo was used a lot yesterday, which got me excited because I don't think we've used that word nearly enough relating to Ohio State's offense over the last couple of years.
I will be surprised if he's up in the box, and I hope I'm wrong because I agree with Tom Herman. I think that's just – it's, you know, I don't think Jim Knowles necessarily wanted to be up in the box. He coached from the field at Oklahoma State, and Ryan Day wanted him in the box. So hopefully Chip Kelly will be in the box. But when he was offensive coordinator for New Hampshire, for example, when Ryan Day was his quarterback, he was talking about how he coached from the field then. He was talking about that's how he knew Ryan Day was hurt on a play because he was right there. It's like I wasn't going to sit there and argue with Chip Kelly, but I was like – he's like, I wouldn't have known that if I was up in the box. Yes, you would have because someone would have like immediately told you on the headset, hey, our quarterback just got blasted. Make sure you do a running play next. It's not like – I mean, this is instant communication these guys have. You don't have to be on the field.
New Hampshire is a little bit of a different environment than Ohio Stadium too.
Well, he also was offensive coordinator at Oregon, and I believe he coached from – I'll have to double-check this, but I think his 2 years as offensive coordinator at Oregon before he took over as head coach, he also was on the field. And he's a guy – and I don't mean this in a bad way. I mean, he definitely has an ego. Charming personality, though. Very funny. Very smart. I think he kind of wants to be seen and not seen from behind, you know, a soundproof glass window. You know, I think he wants to be seen on the field. And I think he's more so than that, Bax. That's his comfort level. Even going back to New Hampshire, offensive coordinator, Oregon, I believe. I'll have to go back and check. And then all his time as a head coach. I think he's just more comfortable on the field. We'll see. We'll see.
He probably feels more involved. I would say that. But yeah. I think at the end of the day, though, you know, if you're going to have your offensive coordinator on the sideline, who are his eyes in the sky? Because then that's going to be the other side of it. You have to have somebody whose eyes in the sky you trust, that you trust on the reads and everything, that you trust on what their pre-snap situation is. Let's face it, even if you're standing on the sideline sometimes, you're running back and forth. You're trying to see who their personnel is out there. It's harder to see. Like, honestly, it is. That's why, like, the best seats in the stadium are, you know, 50-yard line C-deck. So you can at least see everything.
No doubt about it. That's the thing, man. It's hard to see anything from A-deck, let alone standing on the field. I mean, it's anybody who's stood on a football field during a game, I don't care if it's high school, college, whatever. And if, I mean, you can't, I mean, there's certain things that you can see better than anything, you know, if that play's coming at you or something. But I tell you what, man, you really can't see anything. You're definitely relying on your eyes in the sky. I want my primo offensive coordinator to be the eyes in the sky. I don't want Jim Knowles as the defensive coordinator on the field and have to rely on eyes in the sky. I want him to be the eyes in the sky, and we can have somebody on the field telling him things that he needs to know. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. I love the Chip Kelly hire. I think either way, it was just a knockout, just home run hire by Ryan Day. I think it's going to be perfect. Bringing him in as an offensive coordinator is just – that's such a coup.
Hey, Dave, let me ask you a question before
even better in the booth. Go ahead.
So we obviously had Bill O'Brien for the very short time period. Yes. Now we have Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
Do you think Ryan Day would have hired Chip Kelly in the first place had he known that he maybe was willing to leave UCLA?
Yes. I talked about this a little bit yesterday. We did a Buck Nuts instant reaction, which we do most of the time when Steve and Pat and I are over there after big interview days, or, you know, practice was open yesterday too. We're going to get into some of that. Trust me, people, we're going to talk about Sonny Styles, Jeremiah Smith, quarterbacks, all that good stuff. We're going to get to all of that. I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought. What were you just asking me?
Whether he would have hired Chip Kelly
or
Bill O'Brien had Chip Kelly in his eyes been available at the time.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, so I've had a lot of people ask me, well, why was Chip Kelly plan B if this was such a home run hire? It's not like that, though. We got to keep in mind, Chip Kelly, when Bill O'Brien came to Ohio State, when the Bill O'Brien era started, Chip Kelly's plan was to either stay at UCLA or leave, which was, he was starting to get, like, really, you know, thinking he might want to leave and be an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Okay, that's what I'm sure he told Ryan Day at the time, was he's looking to go be an offensive coordinator in the NFL. How do we know that? Because he interviewed for offensive coordinator jobs in the NFL. Like, he interviewed with the Seattle Seahawks, for example, mm-hmm. and he wanted that job. And he was one of two finalists, so he was the runner-up. Didn't get the job. And then Bill O'Brien had been hired, you know, maybe a week before that. I'd have to go back and look at the exact dates. Roughly, Bill O'Brien was hired. Chip Kelly was not available to be – he didn't think he was going to be a college offensive coordinator. He thought he'd be a hot commodity as an NFL offensive coordinator. And that didn't maybe pan out like he expected. So about a week after Bill O'Brien was hired, that's when Chip Kelly interviewed with the Seahawks. And then he said, "Is like, well, I'll just stay at UCLA for one more year, and then maybe I'll pursue being an offensive coordinator." Then Bill O'Brien goes to Boston College. Oh, wow. Okay. And I don't know who made the first call. I think Ryan made the first call to Chip, but boom. I don't think that took much convincing.
He didn't even want to be at UCLA anymore.
Yeah, and exactly. And I think he wanted to notice he wasn't trying – now, not that he would have got one. He's not stupid. He wasn't trying to get an NFL head coaching job or another college head coaching job. He was looking to be an NFL offensive coordinator. When they couldn't do that, he wanted to be then a college offensive coordinator. He said there's only one place he would do, and that's Ohio State, because of Ryan Day and because it's Ohio State. But to answer your question, yes. I think if both those guys were available, he knew Chip Kelly wanted to leave UCLA and would have been willing to come here as offensive coordinator. I don't think Ryan Day thought that was even a possibility at the time.
I didn't think it would be either. But
I bet you Chip Kelly would have been plan A. And Bill O'Brien would have been plan B.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. That's kind of my view on it. I mean, Chip Kelly is literally Ryan Day's mentor in the coaching profession. And, you know, the fact that Chip Kelly was struggling at a job where both parties really didn't want to be him, have him be there, but there was really not a better financial option for UCLA, Chip Kelly did UCLA a favor by coming to Ohio State because they didn't want him there anyways, but they didn't want to pay his buyout. Then Ohio State did Chip Kelly a favor by saying, here you go. You might not have an NFL coordinator job, but here's a well-paying college coordinator job with one of your best friends in the profession that you helped raise up. So to me, it's not just a marriage of convenience. It's a really good fit to have Chip Kelly here.
I love it. I love everything about it. And it's good for him, too. As you pointed out, he's very relaxed. He talked about it, how his wife's never seen him this relaxed. She actually said that when he was, you know, his brief stint there coaching quarterbacks as UCLA was getting ready for the bowl game because their quarterbacks coach had taken another job, and Chip was then coaching quarterbacks, and he hadn't coached a position group in 16 years, and he loved it. He seems very content. I get the feeling that he knows his days as a head coach are over, and he's more than happy with that. Mm-hmm. He just wants to do what he loves doing, which is call plays, and he doesn't have to worry about recruiting. Not that he won't recruit, but when you've got like guys like Brian Hartline on staff, you know, now you have an extra guy on staff, really, you know, with the 10 assistants, and with Ryan Day is going to be the point person with quarterback recruiting anyway. It's not like he's got to go out there and just pound the pavement with recruiting. So I love
it. You know what this is, Dave? This is just like a guy in any profession who's been in an upper management role for a long time, but his true love was one of the things that he's managing. And, you know, for career reasons and for, you know, financial reasons and for whatever reasons, he's moved on to that upper level role, right? But the whole time he was in that upper level role, he's probably sitting there thinking, you know, I really miss doing whatever that thing is now that I'm overseeing. You know, I really miss doing that design on that job. I really miss, you know, networking with my sales agents. I really miss coaching quarterbacks. It's the same thing in a lot of ways. And he was the project manager, the department lead, or the board member for years. And now he's like, look, I'm getting later in my career. I've made a lot of money. I just want to be happy. That's what Chip Kelly looks like he's doing to me right now.
All right, let's get to some personnel issues. I love it. Sonny to linebacker. I mean, I know that's like hitting off a tee, but like I love it. You know? It's not exactly hitting like a 90-mile-an-hour slider in the dirt, but or a 100-mile-an-hour fastball by your eyes. But it's I love it, man. We knew it was going to happen. I love that they're not messing around with it. Like, oh, it might happen. James Laurinaitis came out, as we talked about on the show. What was that? A week and a half ago, said he envisions like it's Isaiah Simmons role for Sonny. We're all like, yes. And he's there. He's in the linebacker room. He's repping with the linebackers. I think he'll be the starting Will linebacker. Now CJ Hicks is going to give him a battle, and it's good to have depth there. And I'm sure they'll have packages where they will have three linebackers on the field to have Sonny and CJ, not probably too often, but occasionally on the field together. And they'll mix CJ in there a little bit. You know, I don't think they're going to have a guy play 100% of the snaps at a position, but obviously, I love this man, Sonny, 6'4", 235, and just like his daddy, he's now a linebacker for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, and that's where I think we all thought he would eventually end up. You know, at the end of the day, he's just too big of a body to stay at safety. And I think his best plays last year were him coming downhill towards the ball. So this makes a world of sense. He's still an extraordinarily athletic linebacker for Ohio State. He's still one of those guys who's on the freaks list when it comes to physical specimens and what he can do for his size. But this is absolutely the best fit for Ohio State in this defense, especially with Caleb Downs coming in. You need Sonny Styles at linebacker. You don't need him at safety. And I think it's best for the player as well. This is his long-term look whenever he gets paid at in the NFL level. He could easily be a unicorn-style high first-round pick if he takes the linebacker really well. The reality, I think, at the end of the day is that, yes, you need depth. I'm glad C.J. Hicks and him are competing for that Will spot because you need to get C.J. Hicks on the field at some point here. But at the end of the day, this is Sonny Styles' job to me. I'd be shocked if he wasn't the guy going forward. He's already played plenty. He's not going to be overwhelmed by a little bit of change in the position, I don't believe. The guy looks like an NFL player physically already. So why wouldn't you put him there? At the end of the day, this is the right choice.
And he should be finishing his freshman year of college right now. I mean,
I know it's wild, right?
Sophomore year, technically, because he reclassified. And he's going to be already in his third year in the program. I love it, man. This roster is stacked. By this roster, I mean this roster, yes. For those just tuning in, I love nerding out on football rosters. After I get the show up, I looked at this for about like 2 hours straight. I think I fell asleep at my desk at one point. I love it, man.
You were cuddling it when you fell asleep last night.
What's that?
You were cuddling your roster. Night roster.
That's right. All right, the other big one, because you and I were talking, like, what's the bigger story? Are they going to find, you know, a Will linebacker, you know, Sonny or CJ? Or are they gonna, what, right tackle? We thought maybe Luke Montgomery might be the right tackle. They might slide Fryer inside, but no, Fryer's staying at right tackle. Nothing's etched in stone. And Luke Montgomery running with the ones at right guard. I like that. I like – the jury's still out on Fryer. I hope – I still would, in a perfect world. I'm being very greedy now. Would love to get them to get a right tackle in the portal and have Fryer as a depth piece, but maybe he'll be better as a second-year starter. But I'm sure he'll be better. Maybe he'll be really good as a second-year starter. I like Luke Montgomery entering his sophomore year backs if he holds on to it as the starting right guard. What are your thoughts?
I think that says a lot that Luke Montgomery is at right guard with the ones, because normally the first practice of spring, and we saw this at some other positions, you put the more veteran face to get the first team reps, and then they kind of circle their way through, and the younger guys that are going to start and everything kind of rise up the next couple practices. But the first practice, it's usually the guy who has the most seniority in some positions if it's up in the air. Well, Luke Montgomery is a true sophomore and is repping with the ones at right guard. So it tells us two things. One, he's made a very strong impression, and they think that him at, I believe, 6'4" is a great fit at right guard. And it tells us, two, they're not going to experiment with him at tackle anymore. They're moving him inside, and the guys we have outside are going to be the guys outside. So it at least sets the table for us to figure out, you know, is Fryer or Simmons good enough? We can see if anybody challenges them for those tackle roles at the end of the day. Then it tells you Montgomery's probably going to be on the field, because if they weren't high on Luke Montgomery as to where he is right now and where he's been in the offseason, they'd have had one of the older guys getting first reps at right guard, not him.
We're going to talk about Jeremiah Smith in a second. As I said on our Bucknuts instant reaction yesterday, I checked in with a source who's a very good source and very down to earth. Like, he's not one to just to be like pumping sunshine and driving hype trains. And I was like, shoot me straight on Jeremiah Smith. He looks great. Obviously, we know he did in high school. You got people calling him can't miss. I said, but as a true freshman, even a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't play much, right? I'm like, should we chill on the hype train a little bit with Jeremiah Smith? And this source, again, is a down-to-earth guy. Really good source. Said, no, you might want to jump on the bullet train with him. he didn't guarantee he's going to start, because they've got three guys they really like, obviously. Emeka's definitely going to start. They like Carnell Tate, and they like Brandon Ennis. Those are probably going to be the starters. But, like, I say probably. I mean, maybe. Because Jeremiah Smith is right there. They have a top four already. My source says he might start. He's not promising he's going to start, but he's going to play a lot. And he said, don't slow down the hype train. He's every bit as advertised. But I'm going to get back to his thoughts on that in just a moment. I got to tell you guys about our other sponsor, Joy Mode. I think I speak for most men when I say we want to be at our best in the bedroom. The issue is that over-the-counter pills that help in that department contain unregulated chemicals, suggest unsafe doses, and include the risk of several other health problems. That's why we partnered with our friends over at Joy Mode. Whether you're looking to spice up your intimate moments or increase your confidence in the bedroom, Joy Mode makes all natural and science-backed supplements dedicated to helping men perform better across their core functions. Here are the game changers. All ingredients have been assessed in peer-reviewed journals. All ingredients have been studied and researched in humans. I don't know about you, but I'll never go back to prescription or over-the-counter drugs after trying Joy Mode. Small enough to fit in your wallet and take with you on the go, it is the perfect travel companion. Go to usejoymode.com/bucknuts and get 20% off with code BUCKNUTS at checkout. That's 20% off and free shipping with code BUCKNUTS at usejoymode.com/bucknuts. Great sex solved naturally. All right. Love being able to put a smile on my co-host's face anytime I can do that.
As long as you do it naturally, Dave.
So you got to do it naturally. And you got to test it on humans. You can't be testing this stuff on like robots and aliens. You got to test it on humans. I'm glad that gets pointed out. Okay. Now, Jeremiah Smith, go.
I think that he's starting by week 4, is my view. I think they're going to have these other younger guys who are extraordinary prospects in their own right get those opportunities. I mean, Ennis, Tate, they're obviously going to be big-time guys. I think everybody sees it. But I don't expect this to be a Tate kind of freshman year where we're like, ooh, look at this little pops here and there from him. It's not going to be like a Harrison freshman year where we're like, I love seeing him in the fourth quarter. Wow, he's really good.
Justin Rose Bowl, basically. And that's only because he had the Garrett Wilson and Olave sat out the game, or Harrison never would have played as a freshman.
Exactly. I don't think this is going to be like that. I mean, Ohio State's stacked on stacked on stacked on stacked at receiver. I really think Jeremiah Smith's going to show up and be like, hi, guys. I'm here as long as I have to be until the NFL draft takes me in the top five like Marvin. I'm not backing off the hype train here on him, because if you've ever seen the guy physically, he looks like a 28-year-old all-pro receiver in pads. It's insane what this young man looks like.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, I've been on this beat a long time, and I've seen a lot of physical freaks out there. I had to do a double take yesterday, and I already was expecting him to look impressive. I was like, damn. Like, you know what I mean? It was like, woo! And they list him at 6'3", and they're really accurate with their height and weights. By the way, Luke Montgomery's up to 6'5". People are like, well, they're exaggerating it. Mick takes it really seriously. If you look at, like, when they go to the combine, a lot of the Ohio State height and weights are very accurate on the official roster, which is in stark contrast to most official rosters. But, yeah, man, I mean, geez.
Dave, I'm going to go this far on Jeremiah Smith. And maybe you'll agree, maybe you won't, because I wasn't here for the comparison I'm going to make. The most physically impressive true freshman ever to arrive at Ohio State in the last, say, 30 years. You're muted.
No, I just whispered. I didn't say it. I just said,
oh, well, it's Orlando Pace is the last time that somebody came in and everybody went, oh, my God.
Oh, I thought you were talking about receivers.
Oh, receivers.
I thought you were going to go Orlando Pace's former teammate, David Boston. I've heard that comparison. Well, but David Boston came in like all yoked up. Like Jeremiah Smith, you called it. He just looks like a 28-year-old NFL wide receiver right now. It's crazy.
He's the one of the most like plug-and-play prospects to walk on campus that I got to OSU in 2002, and that's when I started paying a ton of attention, guys. So it's been about 20 years, which is crazy to me. But I don't remember a freshman during that time period who walked on campus, like not even the Bosas, where you walked on campus and went, oh, buddy, look at that guy right away. That's what Jeremiah Smith looks like to me right now. He's the most impressive guy that I can remember as a true freshman in the last 20 years walking on campus. And you have to go back to Boston and Pace, in my mind, to find somebody that just arrives so fully formed in front of
him. And Katzenmoyer would fit into that mold, too.
There's another one in the 90s. Like, but we're talking 30 years.
No way he's a true freshman, right? That looks like a five-year NFL vet right there. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And they could put some talent on that, especially mid-90s and that 98 team. Man, they were good in 95, 96, and 98, and that's all I'm going to say, because I'm going to start getting pissed off that they at least didn't win one national championship during one of those 3 years. But Jeremiah Smith, they have him listed at 6'3". You know how I feel about that. I got everything worked out with Marvin. They had Marvin listed at 6'3" when he was a freshman. I'm going to sit Jerry Emig down. I love Jerry. I might buy him an old-fashioned, and I think Jerry enjoys an old-fashioned or two. And I'm going to say we got to make this guy 6'4", because if I tell people I'm 6'3", they're not going to believe me if he's 6'3", because he's definitely an inch taller than me. So he's 6'4".
Maybe you're shrinking, Dave, in your old age.
We're getting that fixed. No, he is certainly 6'4". Anyway, get excited about Jeremiah Smith. The guy that keeps me grounded is telling me, get on the bullet train. I'm like, damn. Okay, that sounds good. It's been just a deluge of great news ever since, like, the Cotton Bowl. Unbelievable. Okay, let's get to talk
about it. Amazing how much it's changed.
Nothing big at quarterback yet. Everybody take depth charts with a huge grain of salt, especially this early in spring. They're making everybody earn their keep. If you come in as a transfer, I think Caleb Downs is the one exception. He's already running with the ones. But, like, I have no doubt Will Howard's going to be the starting quarterback. And that's not a shot at Devin Brown. I mean, Will Howard's coming here as a fifth-year senior. I know how much money he's getting in the NIL world. He's coming here as the starter, okay? But those guys are hanging out. They seem like they're good friends, Devin Brown. I'm glad Devin's sticking around. He's got 3 years of eligibility left. And what if Will Howard gets hurt? Be nice to have Devin Brown as the backup sticking around. So, but for example, Devin Brown's going first at quarterback when we were out there. They're not all, you know, they're not in pads yet. They're just doing light drills. We got videos on Bucknuts you can check out. So the order was Devin, then Will Howard going second, and then Lincoln Keenholz going third. And I found this interesting. Julian Sand always going fourth, Aaron Noland always going fifth. So you already, you can, you know, if you like looking too much into little things, you already had, I just told you, don't, you know, take everything with a grain of salt with spring depth charts. But I did find it interesting that Sayan was always going ahead of Nolan, with them being on equal footing coming in as true freshmen. At center, Carson Hinsman running with the one, Seth McLaughlin running with the twos. Bax, do you absolutely expect that to change?
Yes, I do. I think it's going to be pretty simple. McLaughlin didn't come here to be a backup. And I think that the Hinsman thing from the bowl game still rubs me the wrong way as to how that happened. And I think you're seeing with the quarterback in the center position, at least, some of that tenure, if you will, getting the first snaps. I mean, the quarterback order was Howard was second after Devin Brown, and he was before Keenholz, and he was before the freshman. So that's exactly the order I would have expected it for the seniority side of it. I think Hinsman is at the center position ahead of McLaughlin because they're saying, well, come in and earn it, which of you two starting centers on top five teams last year is going to take this job. At the end of the day, that's just how I think it's going to show. I think it also shows, though, that I don't think McLaughlin is as much of a slam dunk guarantee to start as, for example, Caleb Downs, right? Like OSU just dispersed with all pretense with him and was just like, yeah, that guy. Like, hey, everybody, practice your punt returns so that Caleb Downs can go ahead and just, you know, take the actual starting role. You guys can be the backups and garbage time punt returners. Like, it's very different with Caleb Downs versus it is with some of these other transfers in.
With Caleb Downs, they're already planting the tree. Right? They're not messing around. Yeah. They're getting this Buckeye tree in now.
Yeah.
there I go again with the bullet train on the hype on the hype train. But seriously,
this is a very hypey year, Dave. I'm leaning into it, man. This is the best I have felt about an Ohio State offseason since 2015, coming off of a natty year.
I've talked about it a lot. I'm never a national championship or bust guy because it's so much has to fall your way, and there's so many teams and. Not this year. I'm breaking my own rule, man. I am national championship or bust. And I don't say that lightly. And I'm sure Ryan Day is the same way. Now, he's not going to come out. He's not going to be stupid and put that out there and put a big, you know, target on his team's back. But I'm sure Ryan Day feels the exact same way, national championship or bust. By the way, Michigan's in for it. The Buckeyes are just going to destroy Michigan this year, and I cannot wait. One more thing, I'll get you out of here. I will say the overall health of the team is good. That's great entering spring, as I said yesterday. I don't remember it. Buckeyes entering spring this healthy. Now, that can change fast, but no frontline starters are out. Last year, it was like a MASH unit when we opened spring ball. It was like half the team was over working on the side. They have only like five guys, and they're all backups and young guys working on the side. So that's great news. Last thing, running backs. One of the many positions on this team that's just absolutely stacked. The order, no surprise, Travion Henderson went first. Quinshon Judkins went second. Both those guys look great. Dallin Hayden went third. James Peoples went fourth. If he's your number four tailback, you got pretty damn good depth of tailback because you can come in right away and play tailback as a true freshman. James Peoples looks good out there at number 20 backs. He's looking good. And then you got Sam Williams-Dixon, another true freshman. Then you got T.C. Caffey going sixth, the preferred walk-on. I love this running back group. This 1-2 tandem with Trey and Judkins is going to be a lot of fun to watch, my man.
Yeah, and I don't think it matters who goes one or two in that group because both are going to play a lot. And I do think they're going to try to find opportunities to get Dallin Hayden on the field in games where it's not like in crunch time. I don't know if he's going to play as much if we're in a tight football game compared to Judkins and Henderson. And the young guys, I'll be real blunt. I don't think they're going to play much unless that we're in the fourth quarter of a 60-3 game. It's just the reality because they need to get Hayden some run. Hayden needs to be on the field this season because we all know he can play. And in a year's time, Hayden should be the starter. It's just that you have two guys that are – if the NFL draft for next year was happening, like tomorrow, with the guys that are currently just in college now, those are two of the top three or four tailbacks in the country in Judkins and Henderson. So they're going to play a ton. This is one of the best 1-2 punches we've ever had in the backfield for Ohio State. And I don't think we can really overstate that, that this is a really good group of tailbacks. It reminds me of like the Beanie Wells, Antonio Pittman combo from like 06 or, you know, we've got some good pairings in the past here. This is another really good pairing.
We could talk about how stacked they're on the D-line, secondary. It's just you go position by position, quarterback. It's just the high-end talent and the depth to go with it at pretty much every position is insane. Even tight end. I'm really impressed with the kid they got from OU and all the depth they have at tight end with Jelani Thurman, G. Scott coming back as a fifth-year senior, and Bennett Christian now off suspension. And they've got just tons of depth and tons of talent at every position. I absolutely love it. I also absolutely love Bax. Great stuff, as always, my friend. He is Matt Baxendale. You can catch his award-winning column on Bucknuts every Sunday. It is The Bucket. Thanks to Bax. Thanks to all of you. We have a very large audience here. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day.
Go Bucks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.